This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Later in the show, a look at how two online media outlets are covering local news. And in Focus on Technology, a look at the latest in high-tech appliances for the kitchen. But first, several local community groups and leaders are pushing for the creation of a recreational bike trail that would go from Lunkin Airport to downtown Cincinnati and connect to the existing regional trail network. But the proposed trail would follow an unused rail track on the Oasis Line alongside a track that still carries train traffic, and the company that moves that freight on that track is opposed to the trail. SORTA, the Southwest Ohio Regional Transit Authority, held a listening session on the proposed trail last Friday. And here to give us some background and an update on the proposed project are Ohio Riverway board members Scott Goodfellow and Jason Williams, transportation reporter for the Cincinnati Inquirer. And you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Jason and Scott, thanks for being here this afternoon. Scott, would you start out by telling us what this new trail, what exactly it'll be like, and what the design features will be on this trail?
Sure. So the Ohio Riverway is proposing to build a 4.75 mile path on one of the two tracks, the northbound track of the Oasis Line, specifically from the Corral Street Station, which is just outside of Lunkin, all the way to downtown by the boathouse. This unused line hasn't been had seen any traffic in 20 years. There are trees going through it. It's a junkyard, to be quite honest. So we want to connect that, first of all, to make sure that we can get people from downtown Cincinnati out to Lunkin, and then eventually connecting up through the Loveland Bike Path to the 333 miles of the Ohio River Trail. I'm sorry, of the Ohio to Erie Trail. So specifically, we are looking for the Southwest Ohio Regional Transit Authority to step up and provide some leadership to help us create this wonderful new jewel to the city of Cincinnati with a public and private funding mix.
Well, talk about the specific benefits a trail like this would provide for the community.
Well, I'll give you an anecdote. There are 750,000 people who use the rail, the path in Loveland. They go through the Nisbet Park trailhead per year. We are talking about connecting downtown Cincinnati into the network of trails that runs all over the state to Loveland, past Anderson, through Lunkin Field. I mean, we can see easily people going from Newport on a Levee anywhere they want, across the Purple People Bridge, into downtown, go to ride bikes to a ball game, ride bikes to work, take your kids out and walk your dog, whatever you want to do. It's not about bikes. It's not about runners. It's about connecting downtown and all the wonderful assets of downtown with the rest of these trail assets.
And how much of this regional trail system is already finished?
Well, the trail currently goes from Bass Island in Newtown up through Milford, out through Loveland, and then it goes all the way up into Cleveland. So basically, you can go from Newtown to Cleveland today. I've actually ridden my bicycle from Newtown to Columbus three times. A nice, exciting ride, actually. In this coming summer, the Anderson Township will be working with Great Parks to put the path from Bass Island in Newtown to the river access at 32 and Beachmont Levee. So if you know where the speedway is on 32, that's where it'll end. At the same time, we are working to try to get this leg from downtown to Lunkin. So you'd have one break, effectively, in the trail between Cincinnati and Cleveland, and that's building the bridge over the river from the river access on 32 into the trail at Lunkin. And I've spoken with Tom Caruso, Anderson Township bike coordinator. Those are already in the works. That's just it's a matter of time to get that last leg complete.
Jason, you've been covering this story for the Inquirer, and there is opposition to this. So where's the opposition coming from, and why are they opposing it?
Well, I think most of the opposition is from the river rail barge companies that use the line, the rail line, and from the actual railroad company itself, Genesee & Wyoming, is the parent company of the railroad company that uses the line. But for the most part, I've heard beyond that, I've gotten a couple emails from citizens just saying they're concerned about the safety. And that's what the opposition from the railroad and from the barge terminals is, you know, they talk a lot about safety. And I, you know, the meeting last Friday was I even tweeted it out. I said it was a great meeting because everybody, all sides, had great insight. There wasn't any finger pointing. There wasn't any shouting, and it was packed. And certainly, I think the opposition's concerns about safety certainly is something to bring up, I believe. But I also believe that the plan that Ohio River Way has and that so many other stakeholders have in this, they are, certainly are making all the efforts possible to make it safe. And I honestly, I see it as kind of really a project that needs to get done.
Scott, what about you? As far as that meeting went, do you feel like that was a productive meeting? Did you gain some headway on this project at that meeting?
I do think it was a very productive meeting. I mean, well over 100 people showed. People were spilling out into the hallways and outside, even though it was 10 degrees out. We had a number of notables come out and speak. Mayor Cranley spoke quite eloquently about wanting to build this and really connecting the assets of Cincinnati onto this trail network. Commissioner Portman came out and once again reiterated and clarified that he is absolutely for, and the Eastern Corridor Project is absolutely for, safe rail and trail, you know, cooperation here. So, I don't understand why people don't want to do something like this.
Well, one of the opponents that Jason quoted in the story from Friday's meeting talked about how it scared him to think that a four-year-old kid learning to ride a bike on an unprotected path 8 feet from a train, it scared him to death. So what do you think of concerns like that?
Well, honestly, I would be absolutely concerned, too, if that was the case. Here's the problem. There's an extra word in his sentence, an unprotected rail and trail. We're not talking about simply paving over a rail track that runs down the side of the road. We're talking about using the standards with the rail systems as well as the engineers for rail systems. We're talking best practices that are seen in 150 other rail and trail implementations around the country in 41 states. We're talking about a 5 foot high fence running literally between the path and the adjacent passing lane the entire length of this application. So the chance of a kid running out is really nil because there's an obstruction there. Also, there's only two trains a day, and typically they're at night.
I thought one of the Columbia Tusculum residents made a really good point that she sees or hears about kids and rebel rousers kind of running up and down through there all the time now. And I did a tour of the line with Ohio River Way and some SORTA members and some local politicians back in, I believe it was early December. And as Scott said, it is the rail that they want to turn into a trail is, I mean, there's trees and weeds growing in the middle. It hasn't been used as an active rail line since the 1980s. It's certainly eight and a half feet away from, the rail.
Yeah. In most locations, it's 12. It might be as low as, 8.5, but that's in less than 20% of the entire length.
Let's keep in mind too, these are at most two trains a day for the most part, maybe three on occasion, and they're going up to 10 miles per hour. I'm certainly no rail expert, but when was the last time you heard of a slow-moving train derailing? And I don't want to, because it very well could happen, and certainly the liability concerns absolutely should be there, and they're there. So,
and I'm sure there have been very low-speed rail derailers. However, I have to go back and keep saying there are 150 of these implementations around the country. In California, there's one specifically where there's a high-speed rail that runs 60 trains a day, high speed, right next to the path. No issues. So I do very much respect the concerns of Genesine Williams, but show me the data. I'm a numbers guy. That's what I do for a living. Show me the numbers. Show me the concern, because it doesn't bear out in the facts.
Would this pose any more danger than, say, riding your bike in the street?
I'd say it's much safer than riding your bike in the street. Specifically, I'm a cyclist. I ride 5,000 miles a year. In the last 3-5 years, I've helped to erect 4 ghost bikes in Cincinnati. One out in Lunkin on Wilmer. I've done one out in – out in Crosby Township, and a third one in Elmwood Place area. There's been 4 cyclists, notably, in the city of Cincinnati killed in the last 5 years. It is much more safe, in my opinion, to be on a closed, paved, system without cars than it is to be on an unprotected bike path, which is the case on Riverside Drive today. Very simply. I mean, I have not been commuting. I used to work out in Sharonville. And from my house in Anderson Township, I could reliably get to my job out in the Blue Ash Sharonville area in 1 hour each way. It took me somewhere between 40 and an hour 20 to drive my car, depending on Ward's Corner and the lovely traffic out there. Now, I don't want to ride my bike to downtown Cincinnati where I am currently. You know why? The traffic on Riverside in the morning is crazy. When I was in my 20s and I lived in Hyde Park, I did that. But the traffic now, even with the bike lane, is too much. There's too many cars. They're going too fast. It's dark. I'd much rather be on a trail and be able to ride my way into work 14 miles from home.
But just to be clear, Scott, you're not saying that the concerns of people who oppose this aren't valid, right?
I'm simply saying that everyone has concerns for every reason. You can have a concern for any reason. My father-in-law is afraid of flying, but it's statistically much safer to fly than it is to drive a car. So I look at it and I say, I hear their concerns, but it doesn't bear out in the numbers.
Jason, one of the things that happened at Friday's meeting was there were letters from both Senator Brown and Senator Portman in support of this. Now, how significant are those letters, that expression of support? How significant is that to getting this project going?
I'm glad you brought that up, as I was thinking about the political push here and the angle. I mean, you're looking at bipartisan support. So Democrat Senator Brown, Republican Rob Portman, you've got Republican City Councilwoman Amy Murray, you got Democrat Mayor John Cranley, Todd Portune, Hamilton County Commissioner, I thought really clarified his stance on the project at the meeting. There had been a little uncertainty about where he stood on it, but he crystallized it very well in saying, you know, he's behind the Eastern Corridor project and pushing for it. So he would like to see passenger rail in that corridor. But he also said that as long as this would be preserved temporarily and in that passenger rail at some point, if you were to get the money and the consensus to do it, it could still be built there. So he basically said he was very much like behind the fact that this is happening. And so, I think when you're talking about some heavy hitters in the political world and on both sides of the coin, I think it's kind of hard to go against that. When you're opposition, I sense that the opposition is in the minority on this as well.
I'd have to agree. I mean, the people who came out in concern against this at the SORTA meeting on Friday were largely the rail users and the rail company. There was one young gentleman who did have some concern, but every other person who came out, and I'm talking 30-something of the 40 people who presented, all said, yes, this is a good thing for the community.
Right. And in most cases, it's not opposition to the bike trail itself. Again, it's a matter of where it's going to be located.
Right. And even the people who were there from the rail concerns all said, we're not against bike paths. So I hear them and I hear their concern. But as I said before, let's look at the facts. Let's look at what really happens. And these are safe applications, safe for uses of non-currently used rail corridors. Let's do this.
We'll talk more about creating a recreational bike trail alongside the Oasis Line after the break. What do you think of the idea of this new bike trail? Join the conversation, 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guests this afternoon are Ohio Riverway board member Scott Goodfellow and Jason Williams, transportation reporter for the Cincinnati Inquirer. As we talk about creating a recreational bike trail from Lunkin Airport to downtown, let us know what you think about the proposal, 513-419-7100. Email talk at WVXU.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And what We've talked a lot about the opposition. What about support? How much support is this project getting, Scott?
Well, it's rather shocking to me how much support we've been getting. We started a campaign to get petitions for just to say to SORTA, hey, you know, there is a lot of groundswell. And in the first 7 days of that campaign, we had over 1,300 signed petitions online, another 500 plus, including a great number of businesses, local businesses, on paper. We had a Facebook page that was, you know, over 500 likes in the first couple of days. There's been a huge groundswell of support for this.
Jason, what was it about 7 years ago the Federal Transportation Administration actually denied a request from SORTA to build this particular bike trail? And is that something that could happen again?
I don't believe so this time. I think now, you know, the economic climate of the expense of rail and passenger rail and, you know, it was a different time then. I think that at the time the FTA really wanted to see passenger rail put there. And, you know, here we are 7 years later and it still hasn't happened. Now you have Rob Portman, who almost lives right on the line in Terrace Park and, really pushing behind it. And now you have Senator Brown. You know, I think, you know, with both of those guys behind it, they will, I've been saying, like, I think it's probably a rubber stamp deal. Well, from the feds.
And don't forget that you can still put passenger rail on the second line. We're not taking the whole corridor. We're using a line that has not been used in over 20 years, that has degraded, that has trees growing out of it, and we're putting it to a positive use. The Eastern Corridor, as I understand it, has done their study and has said that the one line would be sufficient for the needs of the Eastern Corridor. So once again, tell me why you need two.
My sense from the opposition, I've gotten a little bit of this from the opposition as well, is that the bike path is going to be so popular. So what if you get enough money in 10 years, 15, 20 years to build a passenger rail? And it's going to be, even though it's technically a temporary trail, that's going to be a huge fight to close that up when people are loving it and getting to downtown and they've even built little coffee places along the way. And it's just become just a fun weekend, daily activity for people.
Maybe at that point, you know, the economics are right to move it to a different location. You know, it doesn't mean you can't do it.
Sure. Yeah.
513-419-7100 to join our conversation. Let's talk with Ed in Norwood. Good afternoon, Ed. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Good afternoon. My comment is simply in support of this trail initiative, and I'd like to just mention that there is rail with trail in Ohio already, and I'm sure you guys know that, but just putting it out on the air, from Salina, Ohio to Coldwater, Ohio, there's a rail with trail, and if I'm not mistaken, in the Columbus area, they're in the process of putting a rail with trail system that will extend a trail from the London area, I think, all the way up to I-270. Does that sound right?
Scott, I believe so. I'm not 100% familiar with every effort in the state of Ohio. I've been so focused on the Ohio River Way. So,
but yeah, I think the first Ed, the first line you referenced was the it goes through Urbana, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I know about the Urbana trail, but there's a short trail from Salina, Ohio, to Coldwater, and that's along. Unless the active rail is shut down, it was initially built with active rail alongside of it and functioned that way, and it may still be functioning.
Yeah, this is not unprecedented here by any stretch.
Yeah. Ed, thank you for the phone call. We appreciate it. Scott, how is this project going to be funded?
It'll be funded with a mix of public and private money. So we're really looking forward to SORTA, as I said before, taking the leadership here, clearing us to get moving. And in the Ohio River Way, we'll actually be in a fundraising campaign. And we're looking to raise the majority of this through private donations.
Have you raised any money so far toward this?
We have. We've raised over $1 million. And that has helped us keep the effort going, as well as doing the initial engineering.
And who is going to build and maintain the trail should it come to be?
So the maintenance and preservation of this will all be via Great Parks. So the old Hamilton County Park District, I'm sure they don't like to be called that anymore, but the Great Parks will take care of this. It will be under their liability insurance. It's effectively their thing to administer.
So what exactly has to happen, Scott, for this to become a reality? Of course, there's funding issues. There are some hurdles to get past. But what are the steps that are remaining for this bike trail to actually become real?
The key three things are, first of all, SORTA, yielding the groups out there the right to go and develop this area. Second, we need to make sure that any remaining concerns about safety are addressed with the rail concerns. Then finally, we'll do the fundraising and engineering simultaneously and put the tracks down. I'm sorry, put the path down, hopefully by the middle of 2017. So 2 years out.
So you think this is going to happen?
You never know about these things. This is a large, complex beast that has been held up for a great number of years. All I'm asking for people is to think out of the box. And let us do this. Let's make this great thing happen for Cincinnati.
Jason, what's your sense of this? Do you think this is actually going to become a reality?
My sense is that, yes, it is. First and foremost, the SORTA board of directors almost controls everything right now. So nothing can really happen until they take a stance on it and vote. And if they say that they want to do it, that's going to get the ball rolling on the whole thing. I think it's interesting, kind of the makeup of the board now as John Cranley has gotten some appointees onto the board. I think you're seeing perhaps a shift in some of the direction of the way the board leans on projects. And so I think that's going to be interesting to keep an eye on how that whole thing plays out.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And you said that how long before it would be finished if this gets the green light to go?
Just a little over 2 years. We went down in 2017.
Wow. So that could be that quick.
Well, as I said before, you never know when these will happen. When I got on the board of the Ohio River Way, we were talking about trying to get this done in time for the All-Star game. So you don't know. At the same time, I think we're closer than we ever have been before. We've got the community support. We've got the political support. We just need a few things to be decided.
And Jason, are there any more public hearings, meetings coming up to talk about this issue?
No, I believe the next step is going to be that at the March SORTA board meeting, they're going to take a stance on whether, so far they've been neutral as they've been listening. They've done a great job of listening to all sides of this. And I think, we saw that on Friday. And, now is they're going to, as I believe they've said, they're going to officially take a stance on whether they support or are against the project.
Well, Scott and Jason, thanks for speaking with us this afternoon. Ohio Riverway board member Scott Goodfellow and Jason Williams, transportation reporter for the Cincinnati Inquirer. After the break, we'll talk with two online media outlets about their approach to covering local news. And in Focus on Technology, imagine cooking from your chair. There is an appliance for that. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.